蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
主日聚会结束之后，一群负责收拾和做清洁的弟兄姊妹总会不约而同地去吃饭，好像一顿吃喝快乐、美好的交通之后才是主日聚会的真正结束。你现在听到的是良友电台的中英双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐欣，和我共同主持的是 Charles Morris。
Welcome to Heaven Today. I'm Charles Morris, and we're sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. We're in a series called One is the Loneliest Number. We've all faced times in our lives when we're the new kid on the block, or the outcast. And even if you were the most popular kid in school, inside you feared those moments that someone would leave you all by yourself. Remember that song, All By Myself? Eric Carmen's first hit, released in 1975. It went to number 2 on the U.S. charts, number 1 in Canada. And if you don't know this version, perhaps you remember this rendition.
All by myself anymore. Celine
Dion covered this song in 1996, and it was a number one hit for her in both the U.S. and Canada, second time around. But it does offer cause for pause. Why does a song about loneliness resonate with our culture today? Are we really that lonely in our ever-connected, ever-growing culture? And even as Christians, we can find ourselves feeling alone as we follow Jesus.
Obedience can mean loneliness. Following him, discipleship, can take us into lonely situations. And if we expect that coming to Jesus is the end to all our difficulties, we're never going to escape our loneliness. We're never going to know Jesus as the remedy for our loneliness.
Author Lydia Brownback will be back with us on the program in just a few minutes. And after that, we're going to look at the life of a lonely missionary, the first missionary, by the way. And of course, I'm speaking of the Apostle Paul. He was abandoned, beaten, maligned, thrown into prison many times, but in his isolation, he somehow found a way to worship Jesus. So please, stick around with me. Let's be encouraged by God's word together.
对于一个正陷入在孤独当中的人，作为朋友的你可以给他怎样的帮助呢？请他出去吃一顿饭吗？听他说话？或者他根本不想说话，于是你也不说话，安安静静地陪着他坐着。我们多少都有一些经验之谈，就是当人被强烈的孤独、忧伤包裹的时候，他是既需要真理的信息，也同时需要富有同理同情的关怀。耶稣见到马大，就把真理教导给他。耶稣对马大说，复活在我，生命也在我。他为什么能够这样做呢？因为他是至高的神，他知道有真理、有盼望和永恒的生命，而且他也清楚知道解决罪恶的方法。之后耶稣见到了玛利亚，却没有对他说什么真理，只是为玛利亚流泪。耶稣体会到玛利亚的感受，与他一起哭泣。他之所以能够这样做，是因为他甘愿成为卑微的人。如果他只是高高在上，便不会为人流泪。然而，如果他只是卑微的人，就不能教导真理。除非有一位无限尊贵，同时又无限卑微的神， 否则我们永远无法得到医治，也无法从自我的孤独中走出来。一首诗歌 I am not alone 之后，来听一听 Charles 对 Lydia 的访问。
When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome.
We're going to dig into a passage in 2 Timothy together, but first, let's go back to a conversation I had a few days back with author Lydia Brownback. I asked her to explain a concept in her new book. She said we'll always be lonely if we seek a savior without the cross. Lydia, what did you mean by writing that?
You know, I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what our salvation entails. We think that coming to Jesus means our problems are all going to go away, and it's going to be like a Hollywood movie with happily ever after. And to our joy, it is happily ever after, but not in the way we think, not in the way Hollywood portrays it. If we come to the Lord and we think that it's the end of all our problems, we haven't understood it. And what it means is that if we seek a savior, if we want Jesus, but we're not willing to take up our cross, if we're not willing to deny ourselves, if we're not willing to lay down our self-seeking quest for everything we want in this life, we're not going to walk with him for very long. We're going to be disillusioned about our faith, because following him actually means the loss of something's worth having. It means maybe loneliness at times. Obedience can mean loneliness. Following him, discipleship, can take us into lonely situations. And if we expect that coming to Jesus is the end to all our difficulties, we're never going to escape our loneliness. We're never going to know Jesus as the remedy for our loneliness, because that's not what he does. He comes to redeem it. As we walk the path of discipleship, we get out of ourselves. We die to ourselves. That's taking up our cross and following him. And we find, paradoxically, that our loneliness ends because we stop seeking to end it so hard. We stop looking so hard to fulfill ourselves. And as we let go of that quest for self-gratification, we find the very thing we've wanted all along. We find abundant life and fulfillment.
This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris. A special thanks to an old friend of mine, Lydia Brownback, for joining us again on the program today. Lydia just told us following Jesus means the loss of some things worth having. That's a powerful reminder, I think. It's the paradoxical road of discipleship. It's when we're willing to give up even good things for the sake of the gospel that we come to know Christ and his presence more profoundly than ever. If anyone had first-hand experience with this, it was the Apostle Paul. I want us to look at a few verses toward the end of his second letter to Timothy, verses that we might skim over, but should really pay close attention to. There are important lessons here to learn about loneliness. I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 4. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy, starting with verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Titius to Ephesus. Something we learn from what Paul says here is that sometimes loneliness is the side effect of something good. 2 Timothy is what's known as a pastoral epistle. Paul is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, to teach him and encourage him in his ministry. And do you notice Paul is very personal in his call for Timothy to come to him? Not just to Rome, but to Paul. Come to me, he says. And then he goes on to explain why he longs for Timothy to come and be with him. The reason is that several of Paul's followers for the gospel are no longer with him. They've left. One named Demas fell in love with the world and deserted Paul. But as for the rest of the people he mentions, it seems they've only gone on to minister elsewhere. It's powerful when you think about it. When you see how the gospel is going out, the good news of Jesus is carried far and wide, Crescens has gone to Galatia, and maybe to strengthen the churches Paul planted there. Titus, who at least at the time Paul wrote the letter to Timothy was at Crete, has gone to Dalmatia, a Roman province across from Italy. Today, Dalmatia would be the region of Croatia and Bosnia. Paul himself sent Titius to Ephesus. So the faithful band of gospel workers once surrounding Paul is all gone. And except in the case of Demas, they've gone on for good reasons. They've gone on to carry the gospel to other places, and that, of course, is good news. But Paul is feeling the loss of their fellowship. He does say Luke is still with him, but Paul longs to see Timothy and be encouraged by him. What can we learn from this? Well, it's that sometimes loneliness is the side effect of something good. I've talked to a lot of missionaries who felt this way when they had to leave their family and friends back home. And their friends and family miss their presence. It's like Lydia telling us, following Jesus means the loss of some things worth having. Sometimes loneliness is the cost of doing God's work. And I don't think it only relates to gospel ministry, like in missions around the world. Just think of maybe when your daughter or your son grew up and left for college or went out on their own in a career, and maybe they just moved out of the house. Janet and I have been through that empty nesting syndrome, and it's not easy, especially at first. But it was still a good thing. It's the next step in their lives as they pursue their calling, hopefully pursuing the calling the Lord has given them. But the emptiness, the empty seats at the table, can be a lonely sight. Maybe we text our kids or send them a Facebook message, "Do your best to come home quickly." Sometimes when our friends and family seek God's will for their lives, it can take them far away to new places where they don't know anyone. But even when loneliness comes from something good, as we'll see in a moment, the Savior is still with us.
提摩太后书的四章九到十七节说，你要尽快到我这里来，因为迪马贪爱现今的世界，就离弃我到铁萨罗尼家去了。格勒士去了加拉太，提多去了达马太，只有路加在我这里。你找到了马可，就把他带来，因为他在圣宫上对我有益。我差派了推基古到以弗所去，我在特罗亚留在加布那里的外衣，你来的时候要把它带来，还有那些书卷，特别是那些羊皮卷也要带来。铜匠亚历山大做了许多恶事陷害我，主必按着他所行的报应他。你也要提防他，因为他极力抵挡我们的话。我第一次申辩的时候，没有一个人支持我，反而离弃我。但愿这罪不要归在他们身上。然而主站在我旁边，加给我力量，使福音的信息借着我尽都传开，万国的人都可以听见。他并且把我从狮子口中救出来。正像 Charles 说的，保罗的这番话非常的个人化，他叫提摩太快点来找他。保罗想快一点的见到提摩太，好从他那里得到一些安慰。那些呢，我也想到以前有一次和一位宣教士聊天，谈到了他们一个宣教的团队几年前是如何来到中国的，最后剩下来的只有他一个人，其他的宣教士都因为种种的原因回去了，有的呢是回去结婚展开新的家庭生活，有的呢是回去找到了一份世俗的工作，只有他虽然也结婚了并且还有很多孩子，但他还是选择留下来继续在中国牧养教会带人信主。我想这样的例子还有很多。对于服事的人，我们总有那么一些时刻觉得自己好像以利亚一样，以为为神做工的只剩下我一个人了。在孤独的情绪当中，我们以为自己为神孤军奋战，直到神打开我们的眼睛，让我们看见还有七千个没有向巴利敬拜的人，我们才恍然大悟，其实并不是只有我一个人还在奋斗中。服事在很多情况之下的确意味着要离开父母，离开熟悉的环境，错过与家人共度春节的机会，错过与家人急需帮助的时候给予支持的机会，一想到不能够与至亲至爱的人朝夕相处，我们就感到特别的沉重。这种时候的孤独，谁能帮助我们排解呢？
I want us to share a little more from 2 Timothy 4. Paul goes on, starting in verse 16, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Another truth about loneliness that we learn from 2 Timothy 4 in these verses is that standing for truth can be lonely. I mentioned already that 2 Timothy is a pastoral epistle, but it's also one of Paul's prison letters or epistles. Paul is in jail as he writes to Timothy. And here he gives us a glimpse of the loneliness he felt when he took his stand for truth that landed him in chains. No one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. That's gut-wrenching, isn't it? Everyone. He's talking about believers, professing Christians, deserted him. And this is near the end of his life. Most conservative biblical scholars say that this was Paul's second imprisonment. He's an old man now, having spent his life out there for the gospel, and no one came to help him. Maybe you can feel a pit in your stomach as you hear those words, because you know what it's like to be deserted as you stand up for truth. Maybe it hasn't landed you in a Roman prison, but you know what it's like to lose friends because you've stood for God's truth. Maybe you've lost a job because you wouldn't budge. You were committed to working for God's glory or to sharing the good news with co-workers who needed Jesus. Whatever the case, we should all be aware that standing for truth can be very lonely. But there is good news, and we see it in Paul's confidence despite being a lonely, abandoned missionary. We learn that no matter why we're lonely, the Lord stands with the lonely and gives us strength. That sad sentence we read is followed with a glorious gospel outlook. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. And he goes on to give glory to God, who he knows stands by his side and will rescue him again. He can give God the glory, even in the loneliest of days. Paul doesn't seek a Savior without a cross. In fact, he echoes the Savior's words from the cross when he forgives those who deserted him. When the disciples had abandoned him and the guards and the crowds tormented him on the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them." The Savior was forsaken for him, so that even in the loneliest of times, Paul would never be completely forsaken, since the Lord stands with him. Jesus was forsaken for us, so that the lonely who by faith cling to him would never be forsaken.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. If ever I
Such a sweet hymn about a sweet Savior. My Jesus, I love thee. From Selah's Greatest Hymns album. I'm Charles Morris, and this is Haven Today. And you've been with me on a program called One is the Loneliest Number.
隐藏是属灵生命中极为重要的方面，因为隐藏使得我们专注于上帝。隐藏的时候，我们得不到人的喝彩、钦佩、支持或者鼓励。这时，我们只能将自己的喜怒哀乐带到上帝那里，相信他会赐给我们最需要的。在当今的社会中，我们倾向于避免隐藏，我们希望引人注意和被人认可，我们希望自己能对别人有用，并且影响事情的进展。然而，当我们曝光出名了之后，就会对人们以及其反应产生依赖，从而就轻易地失去了与上帝、与我们生命的真正本源的连接。隐藏是净化心灵的角落，在隐藏当中，我们才找到真正的自我。属灵生命的实质就是隐藏的生命。如果确实如此，我们如何要过着公众生活的同时又保护这样的隐藏呢？要保护我们的隐藏，最重要的两种方法就是要甘于独处和安于贫乏。独处能够使我们单独与上帝同在，我们体会到自己不属于任何人，甚至都不属于那些爱我们、关心我们的人。我们是单单属于上帝的。贫乏则是我们体会到自己与他人的不足、有限，以及需要彼此的扶持。贫乏是甘愿没有成就、没有名声、没有权力，但是上帝却选择从中向我们彰显。当我们在独处当中单独亲近上帝的时候，很快就会发现自己的依赖程度竟是那么的强。少了日常生活中许多让我们分心的事情，我们竟然感到焦虑和紧张。当没有人跟我们说话、打电话或者需要我们帮忙的时候，我们就开始觉得自己无足轻重了。然后我们就开始猜疑自己是不是一个有用的、有价值的，或者一个重要的人物呢？此刻我们就希望赶快的离开令人恐惧的独处，再度的让自己繁忙起来，从而来确定自己是个重要人物。然而这个只是一种诱惑，因为能够体现我们重要性的并不是别人对我们的回应，而是上帝对我们永恒的爱。要认识到这个与我们自身有关的真理，我们必须在独处静默当中紧紧地抓住上帝，是他塑造了现今的我们。非常谢谢你收听今天的节目，那些有 Charles 就在明天的同一时间和你在良友电台的 Haven Today 不见不散。愿神祝福你，拜拜。